Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the part of Geek.io where the team hands it over to me, Dale Campbell, to let me give my little review of the random review of the week. That did not make a word of sense, but hey, again, I'm recording this at 1 a.m. in the morning. This week's movie for random review is The Producers, the 2005 movie, not the 1968 original Broadway play. We'll get to that in a minute. This movie is a change, right off the bat, it's a change in pace of what we normally have been doing for our rant and reviews of dark, not dark, but, you know, manly type of movies, and now we're doing a musical, so that's, take that for what you will. This, my interpretation of the plot of The Producers, sorry, my rating right off the top is a 9.5. This movie was absolutely amazing. This is, well, not perfect, but absolutely amazing. So we'll get to that in a sec. My interpretation of this plot is a Broadway producer and a nerdy accountant partner to attempt to make the biggest Broadway flop, but an over-gay director slash actor turns it into a hit, and the producers get locked up for fraud. Whilst in the lockup, the producers write and produce another play that turns their careers around. That is what I think this movie is. An interesting fact of the movie, this film contains exactly 6 dick jokes. Can you point them out? That would be interesting if you can. You actually get 1 point for every dick you point out. Oh, that doesn't sound right. Yep, 1 point for every dick. That one's going to bite me in the ass. Anyway, now, this film. A couple of notes before I get to the Broadway movie comparison thing that I'm actually going to touch on, not go into too depth. But that nerdy accountant reminds me of myself. I was watching that going, am I watching a mirror image? I think that was me. I react like that too when people are around, believe it or not. But when I get to know people, I open up to them, so I was just felt like I was watching a mirror image of me with the accountant the whole time. It was a bit weirding me out. I actually saw this stage play as a stage play when it was actually in my town a couple of years ago, and I can tell you that I, as hard as this tried to be good, and it was good, don't get me wrong, it was nearly perfect, but I like it as a stage play because you're limited to the amount of settings that you can have. So in the first song, you would have, what, 2 different settings, whereas you went through the whole set collection in that first We Can Do It, I think the song is, or something to that effect. I should know this thing as a theatre person. There you go. But I think that that is, that extends the life of the scene for no apparent reason. And I think we were talking about this when we did Repo for Random Review, is you've got that fourth wall occurring. You're talking to a camera, but you're still acting like you're talking to the audience. Which, they had an audience there for Springtime for Hitler, which, oh my god, Springtime for Hitler is the best play ever. Keep it go, keep it go, keep it go. Actually, here's what Scott Johnson has to say about Springtime for Hitler.
Wear a mustache above both eyebrows, or whatever, and call you Hitler while they're spanking you with something. Rectally.
That's right. That's what Scott Johnson has to say about Springtime for Hitler. The best play ever is Springtime for Hitler. I like Springtime for Hitler over the Prisoners of Love. Prisoners of Love. Also, this movie could have been 1.5 hours if you didn't try and jam 2 plays into it. I think it would have been better if you would have had the one, focus on the one Springtime for Hitler rather than the spend the first, well, although, sure, make the two equal to each other rather than having the springtime for Hitler take up, I don't know, 90 to 100 minutes of your film, and then have the Prisoners of Love taking up 20 minutes. It doesn't make real sense. I wanted to know more about Prisoners of Love. Ugh, that title, though, that just makes me cringe. So there's that. Of wires of notes, I didn't really take many notes this week because I was just too busy to. I was too busy singing along, dancing along, going, oh, I remember that, I remember that. So it was a real remembering phase for myself. So I didn't really pay much attention in terms of notes, apart from the count and one, and the really super duper 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 long Swedish names. What the f*** is that all about? I don't know why Swedish people have to have 50 words and names. That is just pointless. Doesn't play into the story at all, so it's just, why is it there? Anyway, so there's that, and not much else going on there. The ending was okay. I think, yeah, the ending was good. There's no other way that you could end it. I mean, you could end it on a cliche, but I'm glad they kind of didn't, so there's that. Geek.io crew challenge of the week: can pick out all 6 dick jokes. Slater, there's your challenge. Point out the dicks for me. I'd like to thank CJ, who I think, yeah, is back this week. Hi! For letting me release the trainees on you and your listeners every single week. If you've got any suggestions for a random review, you can go to geek-io.com and go on the left-hand side. You can see a suggestion form. You can email suggestions for me to do special nail reviews by sending your emails to thechefwonder@gmail.com, or you can send your emails to feedback@geek-io.com. Thank you, and I'll be talking to you next week. Have a fantastic week. Bye!